I had a wonderful time in Pittsburgh this week. I got to play with my grandchildren, see my kids, and see my sister, niece, great niece, and Steve Crocco. You guys remember Steve Crocco, who was our interim associate pastor here right before Brett joined our staff. Steve is now, I'll just catch you up, as of October, he is the head librarian of Yale Divinity School. So he's back in his field. He's back again at where he belongs, at the top of his profession. And I pass on warm greetings from him to you. The scripture is for what we call Epiphany. The Feast of Epiphany actually is later this week. It is on Wednesday. It is January 6th. It is always 12 days after Christmas. Thus, the Christmas season, Christmastide, the 12 days of Christmas, we are in the liturgical season still of Christmas. That's why we're saying Christmas music, Noel, and all of that. And this is the appointed text because you know the story as we have sung it already and as we rehearsed it in the children's message. I'm reading from the Gospel of Matthew, the second chapter, and I'm reading the first 12 verses. Listen to God's word. When Jesus was born in the village of Bethlehem in Judea, Herod was king. During this time, some wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and said, "Where is the child born to be king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was worried, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. Herod brought together the chief priests and the teachers of the law of Moses and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" They told him, "He will be born in Bethlehem, just as the prophet wrote, 'Bethlehem in the land of Judea, you are very important among the towns of Judea. From your own will come a leader who will be like a shepherd for my people Israel.'" Herod secretly called in the wise men and asked them when they had first seen the star. He told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, let me know. I want to go and worship him too." The wise men listened to what the king said and then left. And the star they had seen in the east went on ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They were thrilled and excited to see the star. When the men went into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, they knelt down and worshipped him. They took out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh and gave them to him. Later, they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, and they went back home by another road. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. They came to worship. Worship is mentioned three times in this passage. The wise men tell Herod that they came with the intention of worshiping. Herod says, "Go tell him so that I can go worship him too." Outright lie. And thirdly, again, that what they intended to do, they did. As soon as they went into the place where Mary and the baby were, they knelt down and they worshiped. But their worship started much, much longer ago than just that day and that occasion. For they worshiped the newborn king by one, the result of their skills and of their mastery of astrology, by which they saw the star rise in the east and understood it in relationship to the conjunction of planets, etc. I won't get into all that. Some years we do talk about that. It seems probable that the star had something to do with the conjunction of two planets. But that's part of their way of worshiping God, was using, or worshiping the child, using their gifts, their talents, in the service of worship. Part of their worship also was the journey that they undertook from what was probably a rock, somewhere around there, all the way to Bethlehem. Somebody can Google that and find out how many miles that is. You can do that later. But you may be interested in knowing that. That's not a fact I have at my command this morning. That long trip. Remember, there's a story that is told by Norman Vincent Peale about a gift that was given in Africa by a native to a missionary. It was a beautiful seashell that was gathered by the sea, but the sea was a long way away. And so coming back, you know this, I think I mentioned it on Christmas Eve, so the story goes, when presented to the missionary, the native said, long walk, part of gift. Part of the giving was their journey. Part of their worship was their journey. They gave their time. They gave their energy, and for the purpose of worship. And then we know that they gave their treasure, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Wait a minute, this is starting to sound like a stewardship sermon. Time, talent, treasure. It is, but we'll move on. Yeah, part of worshiping God is not just being here on Sunday, but it's using the gifts that God has given us in service. It's using our time and the way we prioritize, the way we use our time, and certainly the giving of our treasure. We will participate in that a little bit later. Do you know that there were other wise men? I'm not talking about, I think I also mentioned this on Christmas Eve at the 9 o'clock service, that if the wise men had been wise women, you guys know some of this, don't you? They would have asked directions. They would have got there on time. They would have helped deliver the baby. They would have cleaned up the stable. They would have made a casserole. I missed one, and there would be peace on earth. Anyway, there's seven of them, but I only pulled six out of the hat. No, that's not what we mean. Henry Van Dyke, a Presbyterian minister from a number of years ago, wrote a story actually entitled The Story of the Other Wise Man. I have it here. It's a thin volume. It's easily read. You can read it at one sitting, as I did again over the weekend to refresh my memory of it. It's a made-up story. It's fiction. He doesn't purport in any way that this is a true story, but he bases it out of the context of the visit of the three wise men recorded in Scripture to go and see the baby Jesus. In the book, this fourth wise man is named Artaban, and Artaban sells his possessions. And he has three gifts, three precious stones that he's going to give to the baby Jesus. One is a sapphire, the other is a ruby, and the other is a pearl. And his plan is to catch up with the other three who are gathering their caravan, and he would travel with them. According to the story, there would have been four wise men. We actually don't know if there were three wise men, by the way. We assume, we use the number three because there were three gifts. But that doesn't necessarily mean that there were only three magi or wise men. But traditionally we do. We do say three. Well, he has to meet them by a certain time or they're going to go without him. That's the plan. They can only wait so long. On his way to meeting up with the other three, he comes upon a man who is injured and or dying. And he's so tempted to just keep going. The guy's going to die anyway. He's out in the, you know, where there's not a lot of people around. And he has this important task for which he has sold everything he has to go and worship with the other three. Well, he doesn't leave the man. He stays behind and he uses part of his medical skills to bring the man back to the brink of death, and he leaves him in good enough shape so that he now can go on his journey. But when he gets there, the caravan has already left. So in the story, the other wise man, he has to outfit his own mini caravan, and that costs him one of the stones because he has to sell the stone in order to fund his solo trip. He does get to Bethlehem. He's late. The wise men have already come and gone. The gifts have already been given. And the Holy Family has already left in the story to Egypt. But while he's there in a house with a woman who tells him this, and she has a baby, Herod's soldiers come to the door. And you know what they were looking to do for every child 2 years and under. Costs him another of his stones to save the life of the baby boy in that house. He gives it to the captain of the guard, and the captain takes it. Well, for 30-some years, he follows the path of trying to find Jesus, first going to Egypt and then looking for clues everywhere. And finally, some 33 years later, as the story goes, he ends up in Jerusalem. And it's a Passover. And he hears that this Jesus, whom he has been following for all of these years, for whom he sold everything, and he still has one precious gift to give, and he thinks that maybe if he can use that gift to buy Jesus' freedom from the Romans. But then he encounters a woman who is being dragged away to the slave market to be sold as a slave. And he's in turmoil. But he makes the decision that he will redeem her with the last stone. And he does. There's an earthquake. This is the time that Jesus died on the cross. It is also his last breaths as the woman he redeemed cares for him as he lay dying. And he fears his quest has been in vain. But then he hears the voice of the king. Who said, as you have given to the least of these, you've given to me. Wonderful story. Has a biblical lesson, even if it is fiction. Did you give a gift to Jesus? I was going to mention that in my children's sermon, but I went a little too long with the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I was going to ask, did you give a gift to Jesus this Christmas? We talked about receiving God's gift of Jesus in our lives, opening our hearts to him. But did you give Jesus anything? Well, surely we couldn't go back in time and go to Bethlehem and go to where Jesus was and stand around with the wise men and give him some money or some gold jewelry from us or something other important. Wasn't there a story about a boy who gives him his crutch, something like that? Jamal and the Night Visitors? Okay, I think there is. Well, it's not too late. I was going to challenge the children, but I challenge all of us to, as families or as individuals, as couples, whatever our living arrangement is, to think of one person to whom you can give a gift in the name of the baby of Bethlehem, of Jesus. It could be time, it could be talent, it could be treasure, it could be something very small but intentional. See, the wise men were intentional in their giving. They were intentional in their worship. Well, lastly, the sermon is entitled Other Wise Men, and there really were other wise men there in Jerusalem. Because Herod, when the three wise men come to him and tell him why they're there, this is a big thing. It's a big thing for a number of reasons. One, they're Gentiles, and they're looking for the Jewish Messiah. That is huge. It's one of the things that we celebrate at Epiphany, that Christ is born for everyone, Gentiles and Jews, Jews and Gentiles alike. But Herod is threatened. Of course he's threatened when they talk about kings and they talk about the distance that they've come and the star that they saw and maybe perhaps he even knew of the gifts that they gave. And so he calls together his wise men. He calls together the chief priests, who would have been the people who were high priests and before, and their families. This would have been the aristocracy of the priesthood, and the scribes, those who have studied the scripture. And lo and behold, they did something, and this is one of the miracles of this story. They got a bunch of theologians together, and they agreed on something. They agreed that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. But here's the difference. They didn't go. They had the talent, they had the ability, they had the wisdom, they had the knowledge, but they didn't go. They didn't worship. They stayed where they were. There's a lesson there for all of us. As we gather every week in this new year, as we have gathered here so many, many weeks in the past, we gather to worship. And the challenge is our worship intentional? Do we worship God with not only our presence here in church and the knowledge we get from the scripture and the singing and the sermon, but do we move? Are we moved to go out into the world and find and serve Jesus there? They came to worship. They came a long way to worship. They gave gifts, and it was costly in their worship. And when they got there and saw the baby Jesus, they knelt down and they worshiped. As you do to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you do as an act of worship to me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.